Everybody jump, 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 jump. Everybody jump, 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 jump. Come on, listen. Some of y'all know how to do this. Some of y'all don't. Some of y'all might get with this. Some of y'all won't, but listen. Let me clear my throat. Let's go, y'all. Oh, say what? Happens to me. I hope y'all don't mind.
Facing four indictments, 91 felony charges.
If you would say it properly, I'm facing four Biden indictments. He told the Justice Department to indict him, or Merrick Garland said, let's indict him.
If you would say it properly. Like, that's not actually the official name of those things, but okay, fine. If you would say it properly, you know, properly in his mind is the way he wants it said. President Trump, of course, doing almost the full, well, he did an hour. It was like a 75-minute interview, the full unedited version, which you can watch online. But the Meet the Press version was, you know, the first four segments of the show, five, whatever, out of how, you know, it was like 80% of the show and then a little bit of roundtable discussion. Kristen Welker, you know, off to a roaring start hosting Meet the Press. I thought she did great. I mean, I was very impressed with the interview. He's Trump, right? So talking about the indictments and asking him the question of, you know, do you worry about what this might all mean?
Let me ask you this, Mr. President.
They indicted their political opponent.
I just want to hear from you on this. I want to know what's in your head. When you go to bed at night, do you worry about going to jail?
No, I don't really. I don't even think about it. I'm built a little differently, I guess, because I have had people come up to me and say, how do you do it, sir? How do you do it? I don't even think about it. These are corrupt people that I'm dealing with. They're destroying our country. I don't even think about it. All I think about is making the country great, making America great. Look, these are political. These are banana republic indictments. These are third world indictments.
I don't even think about it. On the one hand, you know, you're inclined to say, well, that can't be possible. Nobody can be facing these things and not think about it. On the other hand, I think that Trump, like many politicians, has an ability to so compartmentalize things that, and then believe that, well, this isn't going to happen. They can't possibly succeed at this. You know, this isn't going to work. And even if I go to jail, maybe I'll become president from jail. I mean, you know, who knows? I think it's possible. I think it's possible to separate that out. I mean, if it were you or me, I think you'd be, you know, every night it'd be hard to go to sleep, you know. But I just think that's part of the brain structure of people like this that, you know, we're on the brink of war. Well, time to get my Z's, you know, like just it just is how the brain works for some of these folks. And so, you know, I believe them. How about the election questions? This was very interesting. And for backdrop on this, it's worth understanding that the charges about election interference are largely going to come down to, I think, okay, my read of the situation, are largely going to come down to the president's ability to blame the decision to try to thwart the transfer of power on his belief that there was fraud, that the election was stolen, on his, and largely if he can say, he's got a lot of people around him telling him the election was stolen, that there was widespread fraud or, you know, difference-making fraud is really the better way to say it, then he'll have a better opportunity to say this is just free speech or to say that, you know, his actions were defensible. But if the prosecutors can show that he reasonably knew that it was not a stolen election and he was fraudulently claiming that it was, then it's a completely different case. And so that's why that's the backdrop to understanding this whole series of questions is to what degree is the knowledge about the election within Trump's that it was legitimate? Is that within Trump's brain or is that not within Trump's brain when he's making a lot of these choices?
The most senior lawyers in your own administration and on your campaign told you that after you'd lost more than 60 legal challenges, that it was over. Why did you ignore them and decide to listen to a new outside group?
Because I didn't respect them.
You'd hire
lawyers,
them.
Sure, but that doesn't mean, you know, you hire them, you never met these people, you get a recommendation, they turn out to be rhinos or they turn out to be not so good. In many cases, I didn't respect them, but I did respect others. I respected many others that said the election was rigged.
So many people were telling him that the election was not stolen and not rigged, right? And he's saying, yeah, but I didn't really trust them. But the question is why? Like, did he not trust them because he had better legal counsel with better reasoning and evidence coming from other counselors? Or just because he didn't believe it himself personally, which, again, that would make a different case in terms of the knowledge of what happened and then the subsequent actions.
You called some of your outside lawyers. You said they had crazy theories. Why were you listening to them? Were you listening to them because they were telling you what you wanted to hear?
You know who I listened to myself? I saw what happened. I watched that election, and I thought the election was over at 10 o'clock in the evening.
You were listening to your instincts.
My instincts are a big part of it. That's been the thing that's gotten me to where I am, my instincts. But I also listen to people. There are many lawyers. I could give you many books. There are books that are written on how the election was rigged.
Yeah, but books came out after, and trying to say that there are people out there who believe what I believed then, they believe it now, that's not going to be the interesting thing in the court case. The interesting thing in the court case is going to be whether he was the originator of the belief that the election was stolen on the basis of nothing, or in contrast with what he was being told by his expert advisors, or whether there was a group of people around him that was persuading him that, sure, there's reason, there's evidence, there's law on your side. Again, whether he was kind of going rogue on the election opposition, or whether he was going with good, even if it was bad, but going with a lot of advice from other people. Again, I think this is going to be one of the crucial things in the, you know, the proceedings against him. And here he seems to be saying, no, it was me, which I thought was a weird move for him legally.
Just to be clear, were you listening to your lawyer's advice or were you listening to your own instincts?
I was listening to different people. And when I added it all up, the election was rigged. There are books
that are written.
Were you
calling the shots, though?
In fact, Molly Hemingway wrote a great book.
But were you calling the shots, ultimately?
Excuse me. Molly Hemingway, mm-hmm. who's highly respected and great, she wrote a best-selling book called Rigged.
Were you calling the shots, though, Mr. President, ultimately?
As to whether or not I believed it was rigged? Oh, sure.
Okay.
It was my decision, but I listened to some people. Some people said that.
See, that to me is admissible testimony and not favorable to the president, that he's the one who chose to believe and acted on that belief that the election was stolen, as opposed to other people around him. Now, of course, he has to say he was calling the shots because he could never say he wasn't, right? Just his psychology would never allow him to say he wasn't calling the shots. But legally, he's in a much better, if not necessarily good, but a better position if he can sort of blame it off on other people giving him bad advice or giving him weird legal theories. But he's basically saying, no, it was me.
Like guys like Bill Barr, he was a stiff, but he wasn't there at the time. But he didn't do his job because he was afraid. You know what he was afraid of? He was afraid of being impeached. He was petrified to be impeached. And how do you not get impeached? Don't do anything.
What? Is that the new standard? If you're doing something, you're going to get impeached. And if you don't get impeached, it just means you weren't doing anything. Although there is this old idea that, you know, if people aren't coming for you, you're not really saying anything. I'm not sure that applies to the presidency. Although these days, you know, you do sort of wonder. 437-1620, 437-1620. Very interesting interview. Like I said, there was probably only about half the interview made it to air. I watched the on-air. I have not yet watched the off-air because I was so surprised there was so much more in it. In fact, a lot of the things that NBC fact-checked him on were things that were from the interview that didn't make it onto the air. So I'm not sure if they felt like, well, that stuff we can't put because we can't fact-check it all. And she was continuously saying, no, that's not correct. No, that's not correct. In fact, the headline-making portion of this interview was really the January 6th stuff where he continued the lie that Nancy Pelosi turned down the 10,000 troops that he wanted to put in the Capitol on the day. There's no evidence of this at all. And she doesn't even have the military authority. And they kept fact-checking him on this during the interview, or she kept fact-checking him on this during the interview. But he kept saying, he said it many times before. There were other parts of this interview, too. I mean, we'll talk about this throughout the day. Very interesting. First network interview since he left office. So kind of a big deal, and they've offered Biden the same. I will say this, whatever else you might say about Biden and Trump, Can you imagine President Biden doing a 75-minute sit-down with Kristen Welker like this? I can't. I mean, maybe he would. Maybe he'd pull it off. Based on the way they hide him from reporters' questions, it is hard to believe. Now, that just because, you know, President Trump has the sort of stamina to sit there for 75 minutes and do this head-to-head with her, you know, you draw your conclusions about what that means. You might say, well, you know, he's got the strength, but I still wouldn't vote for him. But I don't think Biden could do it. Frankly, I don't think it would happen. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way. Offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Work, kids, finances. Your life has lots of moving parts. Let Gulf Winds help you keep them all moving forward. Our free digital banking tools make it easy for busy bill payers to manage the day-to-day. Our simple applications and low loan rates get mommy chauffeurs on the road fast. And our free accounts and low fees put extra cash in pockets so weekend warriors can have a splash more fun. We're here for you and everyone living life to the fullest. How can we move you forward? See all the ways at GoGulfWinds.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Fox News Guy Benson gives you the news and brings you the newsmakers every day at 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Be excellent to each other. Party on, dudes!
Good one, dude.
Good morning, 522 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. There was a football game that the Argos were in that really, you know, they did a lot of good things in this game, including tremendous defense, frankly. The score was 3-3 at halftime. 3-3 at halftime.
Single back in the backfield to Moose's left shoulder. Four receivers out, two on each side of the set. Here comes the snap. Big third down play. Can the Argos get pressure? Nice job of the offensive line. He's just got to throw it away, and the Argos get a hold. Down in their end, Gael Laurent jumping up and down. He says, all right, now, that's what we want to do on defense. And so the Argos are going to force a field goal attempt.
Great stop right there by the Argos.
Oh, truly is.
First and goal at the 9 with, again, this is playing Florida A&M, FAMU, and they are a sort of, you know, mid-level Division I school, right? Like, this is a big test for UWF. You know, you can dominate in Division II, but, you know, you're playing with the real team now, right? And so they stop them on first and goal at the 9, and they force a field goal, which they then got, okay? But UWF comes back.
Logan Gregory on his knee at the 21. Sarah set. Vellante to snap. Snaps down. Kick is up. It is good. Yeah, we are tied. Right,
there you go. So it was nothing in the first quarter, a defensive slog. It was 3-3 after the second quarter, a defensive slog. And unfortunately, you know, then there was the second half. And in the first quarter of the second half, actually, you had an interesting interview at halftime with Caleb Nobles, the, you know, former, obviously, star player, and now is the coach of the Argos.
Coach, you're playing them really well at the line. Looking to be really equally matched. Seems like pass is going to be the thing that it comes down to tonight. What are you going to do to fix it? Yeah, no doubt. We got to step up in the pocket a little bit better. We got to move up and help our O-line out. But also, we're running the football better than we thought we could. And our O-line is doing a great job. We got to make sure we keep doing what we're doing, tackle on defense and not give up plays on third down.
We know you're not here to play. You're here to compete. What's the message to the team to go win this one?
Yeah, we just got to do what we keep doing. We're tied 3-3, and these guys, I mean, they're shocked right now. I think, fam, you shocked, and we're not. We knew we'd come in and play with these guys, keep playing our game.
All right, best of luck second half, Coach.
I think that was probably accurate in the halftime in the locker room for FAMU. They're like, what the hell? This should be 40-2. You know, what's going on here? 3. This is crazy. But, yeah, at halftime. So then they come out and 11 minutes left in the third quarter.
We were just talking about that offline and how big a turnover would be for either one of these teams.
You can hope.
Sure would like to see the good guys get one.
8th play of the drive. Another quick slant. Now they found something here up the middle. Kamar Young, he's going to go for the touchdown from 28 yards out. A throw, a catch, and a run. And Florida A&M gets the first 6 points.
Yeah, Argo's
yeah,
that way.
3 minutes later on the clock.
I'll tell you what, this Argo defense is going to contest everything all year long. You get a feeling.
Yeah.
No matter who they're playing. Great ball fake. Great throw. It's another touchdown. Boy, Jeremy Musa sold the play fake. Finds Riley in the end zone. 24 yards. It's another score for the Rattlers.
17-3 at that time. 5 minutes later on the clock. 3rd and 3 to go on the 21. Sorry. They were on their own end on the 20. Rattlers were. And this is a third down play, followed by, I'll let you hear what happens after that.
3rd and 3. Could run it, could throw it. We'll see. They bring a man in motion towards the line. Moose is back to throw. Here comes some pressure. There it is in the middle again. Finds his receiver. First down, breaks it free. 30, 35 out to the 40. Argos finally wrestling down across the 40. It's another big gain. And, Coach, they are torturing the middle here as he hits Jamari Gesset.
So that's a 21-yard gain to the 41.
Yeah, great catch by Gesset and getting vertical up the field there.
They go tempo.
Big gain for the Rattlers.
Out to the 41, 21 yards.
Pressing
move
the tempo
the
here.
First down. They'll go quick. Throws it again. He's got a man on the side. Hicks it 50, 40, 30, 20. He's gone. Touchdown, Rattlers. And they have busted this game wide open.
59-yard strike of Jeremy Musa to Nicholas Dixon. So that made it 24-3 at the time. That was the third quarter. So they gave up 21, got nothing in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, just the beginning of it. Finally, a little bit of happiness.
Let's go deep. Let's go deep again.
Yeah.
I'll take 7 yards here. Or 6.
Yeah.
Let's just see what they do.
Got to get that first down.
Quick out. Fires it. Leggett makes a man miss. To the 10. To the 5. Caden Leggett's going to score. Touchdown, Argos.
There you go.
There we go. What was we just saying? Let's get it to your playmakers. Let's make some stuff happen.
13 plays, 70 yards on the 23-yard pass to Caden Leggett. But FAMU comes right back within the minute. 2 plays later. First play made a couple of yards. Second play from their own 37.
Here they go.
27, excuse
split
me.
Out. They'll run it middle of the line. Big hole. Makes the man miss. Bounces to the outside. Uh-oh. Jennings, 50, 45. He's going to hit the 30. He's gone. Touchdown, Florida A&M. Huge run for Terrell Jennings. That will go for 73 and another Rattler touchdown.
Yeah, 31-10 was your final. Look, we have a lot of things that we did well in this game, but remember I told you on Friday, I said future news, how is UWF going to do, and I said it's going to be a tough one, and it was a tough one that we did not manage to win. Caleb Nobles after the game, he just said, we're not happy about the loss, we're not here to get consolation prizes, which I agree.
Coach, first loss of the year, came in and competed and just lost at the second half. What can you say about your guys' performance tonight, though?
Yeah, I mean, we came in and competed. We're not here for consolation prizes. We're not happy. I'm not happy about the loss.
Yeah, that's right. Not happy about the penalties, 14 penalties, which was plaguing them the first game. So, we'll see. The previous game. We'll see what happens coming around. We'll talk to Brian Henry about this coming up at 6:35. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The UAW strike continues today. Reportedly, there hasn't been a whole lot of progress in talks between the union and the big three automakers so far. UAW President Sean Fain called the talks slow, said the two sides probably should have been meeting and negotiating sooner. The military looking for a missing fighter jet. A Marine Corps pilot ejected from an F-35 Lightning after a mishap on Sunday, and the pilot landed safely in North Charleston, South Carolina. The plane, however, has not been found as of yet. The base is asking people in that area to look for it. If they see it, let them know, I suppose.
Craziest thing.
Yes.
I mean, thank God he's okay, but we are missing an F-35 in South Carolina.
Yep.
Somewhere in rural wetlands, South Carolina, you've just got a, you know, around the lake, somewhere between the base and like Charleston, there's a, you know, there's just an F-35 laying around somewhere that we can't find because we don't have no tracking.
Yeah, that's what that's kind of what shocks me. Like, there's not a GPS on
that
thing?
There's not something there that can communicate with
us.
It's
not like it's worth, like, what, $1 billion or anything,
yeah,
right?
Well, that's $80 million, but still, it's a lot. Yeah, and like, you know, God knows what happens if somebody finds it, you know? Oh, look what I found. Tow it home, baby.
Finders keepers.
That's right. You know anybody with a Chinese last name? You know, so, I mean, that's, you know, just, it's a crazy, crazy story. Thank God the pilot's okay, though. David, thanks so much for the update. My goodness. Oh, man. Hey, taste of Gulf Breeze, Friday, October 6th, outside the Gulf Breeze Community Center, 6 to 9. All kinds of fun. Get tickets now at newsradio923.com.
News. I'm Chris Foster. A prisoner swap with Iran is expected to be completed today. $6 billion in Iranian oil.
Pensacola. A Locksley woman has been charged for a fatal shooting in Baldwin County. Now, this comes after a fatal shooting that happened at a residence in the Bon Secours community. And deputies say they found a 30-year-old black male with multiple gunshot wounds last Friday night. Investigators say 25-year-old Tajanika Christina Armstrong was identified as a suspect early on in this case. She was arrested on an unrelated warrant in Foley over the weekend and has since been booked into the Baldwin County Jail on capital murder charges. A man's recovering after being bit in the face by a shark in the waters off New Smyrna Beach. Mark Somerset just released from the hospital with some advice for fellow surfers.
I was wearing a gold chain. So anybody that's ever out in the water, I suggest you don't wear a gold chain while you're surfing, especially it thought I was a fish, the scales on the fish, and he grabbed my face because of that. I believe I'm almost 100% certain of that.
And that incident happened last week on Tuesday when the South Carolina man was surfing and fell off his board. He was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. It's the seventh shark bite in Volusia County so far this year. An inmate that walked away from a work detail over in Gulf Shores last week has now been captured. Police say 34-year-old Christopher Ivy Bates was arrested, booked into the Mobile County Jail over the weekend. Right now, there's no details on where he was found. Police did say he'd escaped from his work detail last Wednesday, shedding his inmate clothing and fleeing with the help of an accomplice. He'd been serving a 20-year sentence on robbery charges. Governor Ron DeSantis appears to be struggling to pick up Republican support in Michigan. Two polls of Michigan voters were released over the weekend. The Susquehanna polls show Donald Trump leading in the Michigan Republican primary. Trump leads DeSantis currently in that primary by 47 points. And in the general election, Trump would trail President Biden by 3 points. According to this poll, DeSantis would trail Biden by 6 points. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today, mostly sunny skies, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. For Tuesday, beautiful weather will continue with a high near 89. Plenty of sunshine with a low on Tuesday night near 70 degrees. Nice weather for Wednesday, high near 88 degrees, low in the 70s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it is 69 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety.
No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Okay, anything else to pull from consent?
I don't have anything to pull from consent.
Okay.
I'd like to add a discussion about Mr. Scott Collins' potential employment.
A resolution of the City of Milton affirming its desire to re-enter negotiations with City Manager candidate Scott Collins. I would just ask for at least the leeway to, you know, make edits that would not make non-material edits in coordination with Mr. Collins, you know, so that it doesn't have to come back to another City Council meeting before being executed and distributed.
That's reasonable. And so I would like to amend my motion to reflect what our attorney said.
All right, the background on this particular story, if you're not familiar, and I understand, you know, there's a lot to track in Milton. But remember, you had the search for a new city manager. And in that process, you had Ed Spears, who currently works as the economic development director, and you had a guy named Scott Collins. And the Scott Collins was the decision by consensus. Not unanimous exactly, because several people wanted Ed Spears, but they all decided in the end to go together with Scott Collins. And then you had Mike Cusack was talking to Scott Collins. You had Heather Lindsay was talking to Scott Collins. You had members of the Pitchforks Posse were talking to Scott Collins. And somehow or other, he got the belief, maybe from Cusack, maybe from Lindsay, maybe we're not too sure because some of the public records have still not been disclosed, but that, you know, there was this conspiracy against him and that Ed Spears was involved in it. Well, that turns out to be complete nonsense and hogwash, but that's part of what led him to not want to go through with this at all, and he withdrew. Well, then you have Alex Andrade, who's the city attorney, and, you know, the fallout from this was, you know, Heather Lindsay tries to basically remove Alex not once but two different times from office through special called meetings. Then it turns out that the city clerk is involved in a lot of misbehavior that winds up getting her fired after it took two meetings to do that too. You know, like, there's just a lot of drama. So what you have now is Scott Collins, who, you know, I had interviewed and talked with, and I think I have a pretty good understanding of what happened. Alex Andrade talks to him and, you know, basically not related to asking him at all whether he would want to reapply, but just talk to him about, you know, hey, how can we do this process better in the future that doesn't create so much drama and make us maybe lose another great candidate? And the follow-up to that is that he sent an email. They basically texted Alex after that call, and he said, hey, do you think that, you know, the city council would be open to me basically saying I'm back in? And Alex's answer was, well, that's up to council, but, you know, they liked you, I guess, so, you know, that's on you. He sends an email, and he says, I'd like to be reconsidered. And so we got to this meeting, you know, last week about that possibility. But keep in mind that Heather Lindsay has supported the narrative that Don Molinaro was great and she was great and that, you know, Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow didn't do anything weird or wrong in the process of, you know, messing this up. And if Scott Collins comes back and works as a city manager, it's going to completely undercut her narrative that there was this big conspiracy out to get him. And if he's decided that in the end he trusts Alex only to negotiate with him, doesn't want to be bothered with all of the other city council members or any of the members of the public, he's definitely coming in as, like, on Alex's side, on Randy Jorgensen's side, though he's departed now, on Ed Spears's side, you know, and that's going to be bad for Heather because he's going to know that she was part of the problem that created all of this drama. So that's the backdrop. So when Heather Lindsay gives this extended soliloquy during the meeting on how, I like Scott Collins, but I've got my concerns, well, you got to read that as, no, 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 even though it's the most likely thing that all the city council members are going to be like, yes, yes, yes. And right at the end of that last clip, you had Marilyn Farrow, who had been one of the kind of the Pitchfork Posse aligned, Heather Lindsay, Mike Cusack aligned in the beginning. And she's now said, oh, no, that's reasonable. We can let Alex negotiate just tiny details. No big deal. She's clearly in this meeting has had a kind of a change of heart, a come around, a willing to see it the other way, which I admire her for. I credit her for that. That's something that we hadn't yet seen from her, and seeing it in this meeting was very encouraging. So here's Mayor Lindsay.
Before you make a vote, I just had some questions, big picture questions. I think everyone here knows I like Mr. Collins, and I was really interested in his joining us as city manager, but I just kind of want to understand how we got here because my head's kind of spinning. I'll just have to admit that.
Yeah. You know how somebody says, I like somebody, but, and like they're going out of their way to make sure, you know, I like him, but I got some concerns. Concern. When his parents were actually in this meeting, kind of like she said, she likes Ed Spears and gets along good with him, did everything she could to sabotage Ed getting the job too. So here you go.
Mr. Andrade, can you just clarify, did you call Mr. Collins or did Mr. Collins call you?
And by the way, you know, she's a lawyer, right? I think she thinks she's in cross-ex here. It was weird, all the questions that she was asking of Alex, which, of course, she does not get along with him, does not take his calls. Mike Cusack does not take his calls. That led to drama later on.
I called Mr. Collins, on my drive to the council meeting last week, Tuesday. I told him we're about to go through the process of opening up the RFP responses for a search firm, and asked him, and, you know, he and I had not spoken on the phone since that one phone call that's been discussed at prior meetings. So I called him and said, Mr. Collins, from your perspective, are there any specific things that can be done differently in this next process to avoid the same circumstances?
See, he's not asking him to come back. He's just, you know, can I learn so that we don't do dumb things again? And the result of that, again, was this text that said, hey, do you think council would be open? And that's how we got to where we were last week. And so, okay, well, as Heather is going to ask, well, why didn't you tell all of us about this?
So you had a chance to update council about this last week.
I called every member of council that would take my call, including Councilwoman Farrow, Vance, Hawthorne, Powell, Snow, Meese, and Jared.
As in, I tried to call you, but you wouldn't take my call. I tried to call Mike Cusack, but he wouldn't take my call because she's upset that she feels like she got, you know, surprise hit with this thing. And he's basically saying, well, I called everybody who would take my call, you know, if you don't like it, right? And, you know, and she says, well, why will he only talk to you?
Do you have any insight on why Mr. Collins said in his email he would only be in contact with you?
I believe he specified his reasons in his email.
He did.
I don't want to put any words in Mr. Collins' mouth.
Good for you. And he's like, that's not my job to, you know, pick a person, but he clearly only trusts me to not screw this up. I mean, that's not what Alex said. I'm saying that's what I read in the email, right?
If you're asking whether or not I asked him to reconsider, I did not.
Very clear. Okay. And then again, with the ongoing cross-ex.
Did you let him know about the situation with Don Molinaro's termination?
That's the city clerk.
I did tell him about that circumstance. I gave up. Again, we compared notes. It was about a 20-25 minute phone call on Tuesday before this meeting, last week Tuesday.
So he informed him about that, and she's like, well, did you bring up the whistleblower complaint? He's like, no, it didn't seem relevant, plus there's no legal merit to it. Again, she used to be the attorney for the city, and they kind of let her go, and Alex was the one that came in after, you know, her. I mean, there's a little bit of detail to how that actually happened, but that's the basic gist of it. So you got to figure there's this sort of ongoing resentment about him having the job that she used to have, and she's the city attorney now for Pensacola. And anyway, backdrop worth knowing.
Councilman Snow and Councilwoman Meese, do you support moving forward with this resolution?
Do you guys agree?
This time.
At this time, Jeff Snow says.
Are y'all saying that even though Mr. Scott Collins said in his withdrawal email on July 18th, The city of Milton has an asset that is unquestionably rare and without any equal I've seen. That asset is Don Molinaro.
And she goes to read the whole paragraph about how awesome her best friend Don Molinaro is. Best friend, good friend, okay? She's always fighting for her somehow or other. And she says, you know, he said this and now she's gone. You think that's going to mess with his ability to come work here? And Jeff's like, no, we've all been thinking about this. We're good. Well, does anybody think about the employees?
Has anyone considered how this is going to potentially impact the employees?
I always take that in consideration.
It's so arrogant. Well, have any of you thought about how this is going to affect the employee? Yes, Mayor, we're all adults. We understand what's involved here.
Mr. Andrade, did you and Mr. Collins talk about whether his opinion of Ms. Molinaro had changed?
Mayor, I don't know how that's relevant, but right? I did not spend an inordinate amount of time discussing Ms. Molinaro. He knows that she was terminated.
Yeah, he knows why a lot has changed. Okay, because her argument is, well, you know, if he loved Ms. Molinaro and now she's gone, would that make it harder for him to work here? And I was like, no, he knows what's going on. He knows what's happened all through this. Again, this long cross-ex of the city attorney in the city meeting.
All right. Thanks for your patience. I still have a few more questions.
Oh, good Lord.
One of the reasons why I ask about whether you've thought about whether how this would impact staff is...
Here it comes. You ready? You ready?
What Mr. Collins told Ms. Molinaro and me on July 17th. To explain his email on July 15th about the, as he put it, undercurrent effort that he was concerned was preventing him from having a successful contract with the city of Milton. He named names to us in that conversation, Mr. Andrade. And one of those names was Mr. Spears. Now, whether or not he had, it's not about whether it was true or not. It's about whether he perceived it as
true. You hear that big sigh? That's probably Jeff Snow.
So if Mr. Collins had a concern about Mr. Spears and Mr. Spears knows that concern was felt by Mr. Collins, how does that impact Mr. Spears if this is the guy who's going to become his boss? I'm not asking anyone to answer that question. I'm just asking people to consider it.
So after trying to sabotage Ed Spears to become city manager, after forwarding the notion and fostering the notion that Ed was behind the conspiracy to prevent Scott Collins from getting the job, she's now worried about Ed's feelings? Come on. This is unbelievable.
Well, Mayor, I can't answer that question.
Okay.
I have zero concerns. It is very clear after our phone call that Mr. Collins' perception of Mr. Spears, when you say he made those claims, has very much changed.
Yeah, he knows all of the stuff.
But no, Mr. Collins bears no ill will towards Mr. Spears and does not believe he was part of some conspiracy to be placed in the job. I have zero concerns about that, and I'm very comfortable that Mr. Spears and Mr. Collins can have a conversation to clear the air if needed. But no, I can confirm that Mr. Spears was brought up because he was the center of the alleged conspiracy. Mr. Collins does not believe that Mr. Spears was part of a conspiracy.
And that's something y'all discussed last week.
Oh, yes, Mayor.
Oh, yes, Mayor. So why is she trying so hard? Again, she comes with the...
I like Mr. Collins very much. Everyone knows that.
But, right? Like, again, she says this. So, and then she has concerns about he lives too far away because he lives with his wife in Alabama. They just moved here. Family in the area. She works at Mobile County as a finance person. He's going to commute. That means they have to waive the 5 mile. You have to live within 5 miles of the city to be the city manager. They're going to have to waive that. And that's going to come up for discussion a little bit later. But, you know, they're just... this was never-ending drama almost entirely at the meeting caused by Heather Lindsay. Now, there's a little bit of Mike Cusack drama here, okay, and a little bit of Pitchfork Posse. But even there, like, Sherry Chapman, one of the founding members of the Pitchfork Posse, she's making drama out of all of this and funny out of all this. We'll get to that later. But even Pam Mitchell's like, I'm good. This is a good thing for us. You heard Marilyn Farrow, and she elsewhere, she's like, yeah, this is good. I'm good with this. So several of the people, I think, have recognized that they were very much on the wrong side of this the first time around. And they've changed their mind, which is good, you know? So there's been some bipartisanship, you might say, in the city of Milton. So there's hope. there's hope that things might get a little bit better. In the end, they voted to pursue the negotiations. It should all be very straightforward. Again, I'm not holding any breath until it gets done, because last time we thought it was going to be simple. But at least this time, you don't have Mike Husak involved in the process and trying to screw it all up, or trying to do whatever he did that my belief is that what he did was a key component in what did wind up getting it all screwed up the last time around. 551 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
NAS Wedding Field is a major training facility for our United States military. It produces more than 1,200 pilots a year and is the home to the largest air wing in the U.S. Navy and produces 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots. But NAS Wedding Field has a lot more to offer and makes a huge impact to our local community. Tune in today at 9 to hear what's happening at NAS Whiting Field on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The I-10 Wire Summit returns October 18th to Pensacola Beach. The Southeast Premier Cybersecurity Conference is your opportunity to get connected on the Gulf Coast. This year includes AFCEA TechNet Cyber Coast Track, a $100,000 prize pitch competition, and a concert by the Molly Ringwalds at Casino Beach Bar. Special pricing is available for college students and government employees. Go to i10wire.com for tickets and event information.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Join Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric this Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric is one of the least expensive hurricane protection systems available. It is strong and safe and defends against wind, water, and flying debris. The professionals from Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric will be here to take your calls and answer any questions you may have about protecting your home and family during a storm. That's this Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson talks to the big newsmakers every day from 2 to 4 before Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
That was irrational of you, not to mention unsportsmanlike.
All right, that clip is a test of your nerddom, Andy, is what that is. How much of a nerd are you that you knew that?
I didn't recognize it. I'm sorry.
It was Rutger Hauer as Roy in Blade Runner.
I've only seen that once, and that's because Andy Chapel was all like, you've got to see it. And I'm like, it's like, okay, whatever. It was okay. I thought it was boring.
Okay.
I know, but I saw it. I know, and I just didn't see it when it came out. So
how many of your nerd friends, include myself, think that is the best movie ever made?
Everybody.
There you go.
I know.
5:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a man's recovering now after he was bit in the face by a shark. This is in the waters off New Smyrna Beach recently. Mark Somerset has some advice for any surfers out there.
Wearing a gold chain. So anybody that's ever out in the water, I suggest you don't wear a gold chain while you're surfing, especially. It thought I was a fish, the scales on the fish. And he grabbed my face because of that. I believe I'm almost 100% certain of that.
So there you go. Don't wear a gold chain if you're going to be surfing, Andrew. I know you're into the extreme sports.
I am so into the extreme
yes.
sports.
And the bling.
They call me Andrew X. McKay.
Yeah.
That's right. hey, Illinois is now officially the first state in the nation to abolish cash bail. Beginning today, cash bail is eliminated for the majority of criminal defendants in Illinois awaiting trial. The Illinois Supreme Court upheld that law in July after it was challenged by dozens of state's attorney generals.
But what about Visa and MasterCard bail? No?
No. Well, that's still good. Yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
No.
And here, I was going to go to Illinois to buy some cash bail. Sorry. It's my home state. You know, I can say stuff. Go ahead.
I did see a lot of reports of just videos and stuff of all sorts of inmates leaving jails as soon as that went into effect over the weekend. So I don't know.
Stop it.
I did. Drew Barrymore. Her talk show isn't coming
back.
Wait,
are you serious? You saw videos of people leaving? You're joking, right?
I'm joking.
Thank you. All right. Because when you're the news guy and you're like, I did. I'm like,
I did.
Well,
I saw it.
Listen.
I seen it.
I said,
I seen it. I should have said seen. I'm sorry.
You should have.
Drew Barrymore's talk show won't be coming back on the air until the writer's strike is over now, officially. Mm. She wrote on Instagram over the weekend. She's listening now, listening to everybody. She has no words to express her deepest apologies to anyone hurt over her plans.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess there's two different categories of contracts. There's the contracts that cover like sports and reality TV and talk shows that do not cover, and the separate ones that require, you know, pre-scripted writing and all that. And so apparently the SAG-AFTRA people or whatever are not in the strike that would prevent her entirely, or like The View is on the air.
Right.
You know, but your late night shows with their writers for the comedy sketches and or they've decided they want to be in solidarity. That's why you're having like, you know, America's Got Talent and sports is on and The Bachelor in Golden Paradise or whatever is on, but not the, you know, scripted shows that have to be written. And so, you know, by the letter of the law, she could do it, but I think decided that, oh, I don't want everybody to hate me. And so I just won't do this. David, thanks so much for the update. 557 on News Radio 92.3. China flew 103 military planes toward Taiwan in a day. A day. It's a new record. I guess they were going for it. Guinness certifies. No, but this is bad because, you know, Taiwan is always wondering, well, is now the time? You know? And when you do it enough times, right, it's like the bully kind of doing the head fake at you. Now? You going to jump me now? You know, that kind of thing. 103 warplanes that they sent in a 24-hour period toward the... They also, by the way, this is between 6 a.m. on Sunday and 6 a.m. on Monday, their time, okay, which they're well ahead of us. 40 of the planes crossed the halfway point. 9 naval vessels in the last 24 hours. Last week, they had, you know, an aircraft carrier Shandong into waters near Taiwan with a group of ships around it. The drills they were doing, they say, are a response to the U.S. and Canada sailing warships through the Taiwan Strait, waters that separate the island from the mainland. We have this longstanding diplomatic craziness of Taiwan is a separate place, but not a separate country. It belongs to China, but not really. We defend them and protect them, and well, we don't protect them, not yet. Would we send people that we don't know? All of this is up in the air. And of course, you know, China has long and always maintained that Taiwan is really just a, you know, they're like the rebel forces. You know, they belong to the empire, and we're going to keep them. Would they ever take action to make that happen? Well, that's what time will tell, and what the test of, you know, Putin, Russia, and Ukraine will also to some degree tell, which is, you know, what Zelensky said in 60 Minutes last night, right? You got to decide for yourselves, do we want to be in the middle of a world war or not? And, you know, part of the lesson there is going to be the question of, well, what, you know, what is China learning from what it sees in the Ukraine from the world? 559 on News Radio 92.3. Very odd, just the Vatican has released a letter that was written by, I think, sources, cardinals in, like, Germany, World War II, 1942, that told Pius that the Jews were being exterminated in the concentration camps. Because this has long been this plausible deniability that they didn't know that that was happening and did they do enough to stop it. But the Vatican has released this letter that indicated the Pope would have known as early as 42.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.